I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets uncomfortable. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, and events that science still can't fully explain. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Joining us now on the guest hotline, powered by Gruber Law, one call. That is all. We need a nickname. I don't know what it is. We call him the legend. We call him Mr. YouTube. I don't know. Andy Herman joins us now from the Pack a Day podcast with his fancy room office that he has all set up in there.
The Herminator?
Like he's Pack. That's horrible.
You don't like the Herminator?
No.
I like the Herminator. Come on.
No, first of all, once you are with Andy Herman, you realize he's nothing of a nader at all. He's not a Terminator, a Herminator, or anything else. I mean, that is just not the case.
Describe anybody as a nader.
Like, for instance, like if you were, you know, let's see, who could be? Like Trevor on Inside Wisconsin Sports. That dude's like 6'8". Okay, you could call him a Trevor Nader and get away with it. It's okay. Andy Herman, no. Andy Herman, sorry to be messing with you. How are you doing today, buddy?
I am fantastic. For the record, in my video gaming days, when I absolutely tore people apart, the Herminator was absolutely the username. So, yeah, it may not be in real life. I might not win any arm wrestling contests, but if we're going one-on-one in Madden in my prime, you're going down.
Speaking of that, we're going to get into the next segment. Were you shocked that Caleb Williams is on the cover of Madden?
No, he's a first overall pick. Kids love him. He made some crazy plays. Like Vince Young's been on the cover of Madden. Peyton Hillis has been on the cover of Madden. I'm not even saying this is as egregious as those two, but I mean, again, this Michael Vick first round pick, was he the best player in the league? No. Is he exciting? Yes. This is very on brand for Madden.
Well, Charlie is a Bears fan, and he was besides himself when this came out that he made the cover. So, but we'll get into that coming up in the next segment. Okay, I want to get your thoughts first there on Matthew Golden talking as we came out of break, talking about making this jump in year two. Do we know why he didn't have a good rookie year? I guess that's where I want to start, because I've been speculating for a long time of it had to be something that we're not really talking about. Either his route running wasn't as good as it needed to be, or he just wasn't getting the separation like they needed him to get, or he wasn't on the same page with Jordan Love. Like, there has to be something here where you go, okay, this was problem A, and he knows he has to work out on the offseason, and now here in season two, this is why he makes the jump forward. Or, I'll give you another answer, it's simply they got rid of Dobbs, they got rid of Wicks, so now he's going to be forced to have more opportunities, and he'll be successful.
Some of column A, some of column B, some other stuff as well, some stuff in the middle. So first of all, not a productive rookie season. I will go to bat and say how I evaluated Matthew Golden when I went through with my grades. I was very high on his overall level of play when he got on the field a season ago. People, I don't think, remember, there were a couple occasions early in the year where he got open deep down the field, and it just so happened those were a couple plays where Jordan missed him. And if he has a couple, you know, 60, 70-yard touchdowns to his name, especially early in the year, that even feels a little bit different. I think we saw in that playoff game against the Bears exactly what he's capable of. Came up with some really key clutch fourth down plays, I think one against the Lions, and some clutch plays in some other games as well. So, I was still very, very high on what he put on tape a season ago when he actually got in the game. Now, as far as why he didn't have the productivity, why he didn't get on the field more, I think part of it is a very crowded wide receiver room. You had Romeo Doubs, obviously had Watson and Reed missing different portions of the season, but you still had those two. Dontayvion Wicks was getting time. I know people are upset that Bo Melton got time. He only got 90 some snaps. I'm more upset that Malik Heath got time. Probably he had a couple hundred some snaps a season ago. But they rotated those guys pretty heavily. And I do think, I know Dusty Evely, a friend of the show as well, I know, he kind of went through and thought, you know, that there was maybe some route running things, maybe not as being as precise as need be, that I think probably kept him off the field. And then just the other thing too is, it is a very meticulous position in Matt LaFleur's offense, and to learn three different spots in Matt LaFleur's offense is difficult as well. It seemed like as the season went on, especially in that Chicago game, and it sounds like right now where he's at, he has a much better understanding of the offense, exactly where to be, his routes, where to cut him off, etc. I expect all of that raw natural talent that we saw out of him even early in his college career at Houston and then later at Texas, and what we expected when Green Bay drafted him, That's going to come out. And of course, Dobbs is gone. Wicks is gone. There's going to be a ton of opportunity. This is going to be the Jaden Reed, Matthew Golden, Christian Watson, Tucker Kraft show in 2026. And I'd be very surprised, as Jaden Reed mentioned yesterday, if we didn't see a pretty significant breakout from Matthew Golden.
Talking with Andy Herman, Peckaday Podcast, joins us here on Wisconsin Sports Daily. See Sparky Fiverr with you. Jordan Morgan, the man has been not spoken in the most positive light for the last couple of years, and now here we go. I mean, we start talking about, you know, I saw Matt Schneiman wrote a piece, who's got the most pressure and so forth, and I'm not going to say I agreed with half of what he wrote, but I will say that Jordan Morgan definitely should be, like, near the top of the leaderboard, if not at the top of the leaderboard, because if he goes out and struggles this year, Brian Gutekunst cannot afford to wait another year to see if he figures it out the second year as a starter. He has to make a move and try and remedy that as soon as possible. So as crazy as it is to think that a first-round pick gets 1 year to prove whether or not he's worth it or not, that's kind of where we're at with Jordan Morgan. And I was going through yesterday on the air your little play-by-play on X yesterday, because, you know, I love following Andy Herman, and kind of going through, and I didn't see a lot of positive stuff about Jordan Morgan, Andy. I didn't see a lot of positive stuff.
Yeah, he had a false start. It looked like he had an illegal procedure penalty as well. Just probably lined up a little bit too far back, which is, again, that's a practice thing, not the end of the world. And then it did look like he got beat by LVN for a sack as well in one particular play. Trench play is, you don't want to see the false start or some of the mental mistakes. Obviously, that's very avoidable, whether it's a practice or not. Trench play in OTAs with no pads on is pretty irrelevant. But what I will say is I agree with you in that they absolutely need Jordan Morgan to play a much better brand of football. I think Green Bay sometimes gets in their own way with getting players off to a strong start. I was very critical of how they started Josh Jackson out, the corner from Iowa. This was a off-ball zone corner, outside zone corner in college's entire career, and he crushed it playing that way. And Green Bay drafted him and immediately put him in the slot and played him in man-to-man coverage, something that he was never set to do in the NFL. And it just felt like he lost his confidence immediately, got off to a terrible start. The rest was history. I think he probably would have been bad no matter what, but it certainly did not do him any favors. Amari Rodgers, I think, in a very similar way. They get him to be the slot guy. Then all of a sudden, the Rodgers stuff happens. They trade for Randall Cobb. They gave him the return of responsibility. He was just bad, and he went to Houston, was bad as well. But I don't think they put him in the best position to succeed early on for an early draft pick. And I think Jordan Morgan, in a very similar way, we know they love their versatility, and everything out of college with Jordan Morgan was that he has four position versatility. It's going to be great. That sounds great, but in college, he played one position. He didn't play two. He played one position all throughout college, which was left tackle. And here, by like the end of minicamp and OTAs in his rookie season, he had already been at four different spots. And in the NFL now, in two seasons, he's played four spots in the league, and it just never really gave him the opportunity to settle into anything. And I think that has hurt him in some real way. The good news, if you're looking for positives, is he's back at his natural spot at left tackle. I think that's going to help him quite a bit. And there were moments, especially in that preseason game a season ago, which it's preseason, read into it what you will, but I think it was against Indy, and Indy had a pretty good group of edge rushers, even in, you know, some of their backups and things like that. And he looked really good and really natural at left tackle in that game. And then the other thing I'll add is Rashid Walker, probably one of the more under-talked about really poor seasons from a season ago. And I think PFF might cloud that a little bit. PFF was a little bit higher on him. I think the league was right on him. He got a one-year, $4 million deal, got no starting caliber money, and now he's going to have to battle with Monroe Freeling in Carolina just to even be...
I'm Mark Sullinger, producer and one of the hosts of the Moth Podcast. For nearly two decades, The Moth has brought live storytelling to stages around the world and to millions of listeners. These are real people telling true stories from their lives. Stories about a lost family recipe, about working to free a wrongfully convicted man, about realizing you need to leave your May-December romance. Stories that will move you, surprise you, make you laugh. Stories you can't forget. Join us. Follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
The starting tackle, he might end up being the swing tackle in Carolina. I thought he had a really, really poor season a year ago. So the good news is Jordan Morgan has a pretty low bar to clear from where Rashid was at a season ago, but he needs to have a big season for Green Bay if they want to be successful up front.
Say what you want about Rashid Walker, but at least he stayed on the field. I mean, and you're talking about last year and everybody getting hurt, And by the end of the year, you're talking about depth and how are they going to fix depth coming in? And it's, well, they'll go sign a veteran offensive lineman and that'll fix things and so forth. Do we feel any more confident about the depth of this offensive line now than we did last year?
The two words I'll say about that in regards to Rasheed Walker are, Jordan, run! That sure, is still yes. one of the best sound yes. bites of the entire season,
he was trying to help, but be a good teammate and communicate.
He was.
Yes.
Jordan, run. But no, to answer your other question, I feel awful about the depth of the offensive line. Now, Jager Burton got time with the ones in OTAs before minicamp even starts. That's an impressive feat. The fifth round offensive lineman getting starting reps already. Now, Jacob Monk is out, so he had to kind of battle Darian Kennard and I guess Travis Glover for that spot. There weren't a lot of other options, but they didn't have to give him that. They could have just kept Kennard there. And the fact that they started rotating him already, that's a good sign. And I loved his tape. I did not get to watch him pre-draft. He was the only one that they drafted besides Trey Smack that I did not get to watch pre-draft. So I was excited to open that present and watch the film after Goody drafted him. And honestly, like, based on where they drafted him, probably my favorite tape of any of their draft picks relative to draft status or where they took him. So I really liked him, and that gives me some hope that maybe they found something there in Jager Burton to give them some depth. But I'm not a Darian Kennard believer. He is fine if you need him for a game or two and you can get by with him, but anything more than that, and I think you're in significant trouble. And I just don't trust anything else. And it might end up being having to be somebody like Jager Burton that steps up. And thankfully, there is some versatility on that offensive line. But no, I think it's a major question going into the season.
One guy that was heard consistently was Aaron Banks. When he got healthier in the second half of the season, how much better, when you went back and you watched all this, did he actually get? Do you feel better about that position with him out there to start the year if he's healthy?
Yeah, so I don't think anyone's going to convince anybody, period, end of story, that Aaron Banks, even when he played well, was worth the contract that he got when the Packers signed him to that massive deal. But I will tell you, just on my grading, in the first 10 weeks of the season, when he was clearly not himself, not healthy, he had a negative 1.30 grade.
Now, hold on. Let's catch everybody up. Everybody may not know the grading system for Andy Herman.
Yep.
So what's an average number? Like, if you're average, what would the number be? Yep.
Zero is average.
Okay.
Anything obviously in the negatives is bad. Positives is good.
Good.
But in negative 1.30 over a 10-week period, I think he played in 8 of those games. Not particularly, actually 7 because the bye was in there. So 7 games, not a great grade for Aaron Banks. However, in his final 8 games of the season, he was a plus 1.25. And if you take those 8 games of plus 1.25 and extrapolate it through the course of the season, he actually would have graded as the Packers' best offensive lineman a season ago. And that's not saying much, just in general, that is a good, solid offensive lineman. So if we get healthy, solid Aaron Banks, it's not one of those contracts that you're going to love, but you'll be like, they got a good starting left guard. It's not the end of the world. But if he continues to play like he did in totality of last season, it's more net neutral or slight negative, and that's not where you want him to be for somebody that you spent so much money on.
Talking with Andy Herman, Packaday Podcast. Of course, follow him on X at Andy Herman NFL and on Blue Sky as well, right? You're over on Blue Sky too, I believe,
yep,
right?
Yep. Yeah. Same handle
over on Blue Sky. Andy, let's talk a little bit about the kicker position, because I was not a fan of letting McManus go. I wasn't a fan of turning this over to a 6th round pick and saying, here you go, kid, it's all yours. We saw Goody struggle to figure out that position already once and got bailed out because McManus had stuff going on off the field and wasn't going to sign with anybody. So McManus bailed him out. Then he liked McManus enough to give him a long-term deal, even though, again, it's not all guaranteed money. I get it. But you still paid him and said, good, now I don't got to worry about the dumb kicker position anymore. Let's move on. Sorry, Mason Crosby, for calling it dumb. But that's where we were for him. Now you don't even have a competition and you send this kid out there at Lambeau. This ain't a dome. This is not a dome. It's not perfect conditions. There's going to be snow. There's going to be wind. There's going to be rain. It's going to be bitter cold. All of this stuff. And go, here you go, rookie. Go do it. And oh, by the way, it's Super Bowl or bust for most people around here. So don't screw it up in the playoffs, because that's why we cut the last guy. Like, I don't know, man. I'm not a big fan of how they went about their business, and I'm not going to overreact to him missing kicks yesterday, but I think this really is setting up for a gigantic letdown potentially if this doesn't work.
Yeah, so a couple things. I'm with you. Now, we don't know if McManus was upset about it and asked out and was like, I'm out of here. I was your guy, and now you drafted a kicker. Get me out. I know he's kind of an old school guy in that regard. And so maybe he felt disrespected and was just like, I'm out. And Green Bay's like, well, we're not going to deal with this. We're like, the likelihood is we're going to go with the rookie anyway. So we're just going to get rid of you now. And so maybe something like that happened. If it didn't, and even if it did, I think it's short-sightedness on Brandon McManus's part as well, who does not have a job right now. He is not kicking anywhere else. He's coming off a terrible season. He had some off-field concerns, obviously, prior to Green Bay picking him up.
He was hurt.
He's old. Yeah, he's old. He was hurt. Like, there's a lot going on with McManus. If he thought like he was just going to get cut and some team was immediately going to pick him up, I think he overthought his value. And I don't know that there would have been a better spot for him to compete than in Green Bay against a rookie kicker. And so either way, I thought that was short-sighted, whether it was by McManus or by the Packers, just because you don't know what you're going to get with a rookie kicker. We have seen this with Brett Conway. We have seen it with Anders Carlson. You just never know. Even if you draft a kicker, it is not a guarantee of success in the NFL. I understand the overarching idea of that you wanted to give him the primary snaps and give a... But like, even if he's kicking 80 to 20 to Brandon McManus, I'd still rather keep Brandon McManus around for that 20% of the time, in the effect that, you know, Smack just struggles and you need somebody else. The other thing, if you did need to move on and you're just like, hey, it can't be McManus. Okay. There's no way that Haversick is the kicker. Even if all of a sudden Trey Smack fails, they're going to go out and they're going to find somebody else. So do that now. Like, start looking for another kicker. Just think, like, have it be a little bit more of a competition. Again, even if it's 80-20, 70-30, that Smack's getting the work in camp and that you're trying to focus on him getting the job, fine. But if all of a sudden he continues to have, you know, 5 out of 9, you know, days, you know, kicking, and it's one day, it's OTAs. I'm sure they're working on him on different stuff with his foot placement and his follow. I'm sure that there's some things that they're working with him on to change in the NFL from what he did in college. And there's always an adjustment period with that, but I would have given myself a few more outs if I were Green Bay in that situation.
We got a break here on this hard clock. I just need a one word answer here, because of the Dugout YouTube chat. Somebody's asking, if Morgan doesn't work out, who's the next option at left tackle?
It's probably Kennard this year, but to your point from earlier, they're going to have to go in a different direction next year.
There he is. Andy Herman, Pack-A-Day Podcast. It's amazing stuff. Every day, new Packers content. Go check it out. Andy is awesome. Follow him on X at Andy Herman NFL there on Blue Sky 2. Andy, thank you so much, my friend.
Appreciate it.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.